Shanti. Good morning and welcome to this morning session. Most of you have met Suman Ben by now. And so just to share a little bit, Suman Ben came to Baba in her early childhood. So she's been in Gyan for many, many years. And she came to Madhuban to live here in Gyan Sarovar for the past 30 years. She's been here. And so she has a wealth of information and richness and wisdom. And yesterday I was chatting to her and she was sharing some of the insights and stories of the ancestors which I hadn't known about. So I think today is going to be such a beautiful session of getting to know our ancestors, our family, and learning and drawing from their life and their experiences. So welcome, Suman Ben.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Nita Ben. So, in this session, we'll try to know our ancestors. Why is it necessary to know our ancestors? Why? What do you think? Why is it necessary to know our ancestors? It brings the feeling of belongingness, right? So when we know that we belong to this family and who our elders are, our ancestors are, then the feeling of belongingness becomes much more deeper. And we realize we belong to such an elevated family, such an auspicious family, such a huge family of elevated souls who did very, very incognito renunciation and tapasya. They are very great souls, right? So when we feel, when we say that I belong to such an elevated family, we feel so proud of it, right? Even in the Laukik, when we say, my father is so-and-so, you know, my family is so-and-so. So we have a sense of pride in that. So here also, when we understand our ancestors, what they did for the Yajna, what they did for Baba, so then there is a sense of appreciation, gratitude, and also the feeling of pride that I belong to such an elevated family. So today in this session, I'll be introducing you many of the ancestors that you might be not knowing, not so popular ones. You know, we know Gulzar Dadi, we know Janki Dadi, we know the recent Dadis, we know, right? But I would like to introduce to you those dadis which whom we haven't heard of much. Yeah? So here is a beautiful photo of all the ancestors. We have Mama, Didi, Manmohini Didi, Janki Dadi, Prakashmani Dadi, and all the dadis. Some dadis you might not be recognizing, but some dadis you might be recognizing. So first of all, I would like to show you this picture. In this picture, in the middle, you know, if I can indicate, okay, this mother, you know, just, who is that person? Do you recognize her? Just next to Brahma Baba. Mohini Didi, Yashoda Mata, right? Yes, Yashoda Mata was the Laukik wife of Dada Lake Raj, and do you know what renunciation she has done? Such a great soul. We can say hers was the greatest renunciation. Actually, when Dada Lekhraj was not inclined towards devotion, Yashoda Mata was the one who was doing lot of devotion. And when Baba was around 58-60 years, Yashoda Mata told Baba, told him that now I think we should, it's the time for us to wind up the business. We have expanded the business very much. Now we have enough wealth, so let us wind up and then we focus on devotion. Then Dada Lekhraj said, no, I want to earn more. So Dada Lekhraj was more towards earning money and expanding the business. But something happened, you know, he got those visions. You know the story, how Dada Lekhraj got visions and then he got inclined towards bhakti. But the one who drew him towards bhakti, towards devotion, was Yashoda Mata. And after, when Shiv Baba descended in the body of Brahma Baba and started to give this knowledge, Yashoda Mata's renunciation was the greatest one, because you can just imagine a housewife having a big bungalow, right? Then in Sindh, Hyderabad, Baba had a very huge bungalow where they had around 10 rooms and a huge sitting room, and so it's like it was a, like a palace, and that was called as Yashoda Bhavan because of his wife, and she was in charge of that bhavan, right? She used to take care of the bhavan. And when Shiva Baba entered the body of Brahma Baba, now all the gatherings started to happen, people started to come in, and Baba used to give more attention towards those people. And now she had the relationship of a husband and wife. Now she had to switch from that consciousness to like of God, right? So for her to switch that consciousness from being a wife for being a child, it was such a huge renunciation. It was being in this body and then switching to that relationship was a big thing for her, but she did it, right? So that was her contribution for this yagya, and she didn't become any obstacle, right? She was, whatever Brahma Baba told, she just followed his footpath. She followed his path. So she was very royal. And Nirmal Shanta Dadi, the daughter of Brahma Baba and Yashoda Mata, she would say, always say that both souls were so royal. Yashoda Mata and Brahma Baba were so royal, and they would never scold any children, any of them. They would speak very softly. Their behavior would be very royal. And she used to take care of all the necessary things of the family. So her contribution towards the yagya was a lot. And this next picture that we are seeing is Brijendra Dadi. Do you know who she is? Dadi Brijendra? You know? Who she is? She is the Laukik daughter-in-law of Brahma Baba. And she was the one who witnessed first when Shiv Baba entered in the body of Brahma Baba in Sindh, Hyderabad. You know, there was a gathering, spiritual, religious gathering going on. And all of a sudden, Brahma Baba felt that he should get up from there. That would never happen before, because if a spiritual gathering is happening in his house, it is a disrespect to get up from the spiritual gathering when a guru is giving a discourse. So he was pulled, that he was attracted towards going out of the hall, and he went out and sat in his room. Brahma Baba sat in his room, and Brijendra Dadi just followed Brahma Baba. And saw that Brahma Baba was sitting in a room, and the whole atmosphere of the room is so charged with spiritual energy, and that voice is coming out from Brahma Baba's mouth, that Nijananda Swarupam Shivoham Shivoham, Satchit Ananda Swarupam Shivoham Shivoham. So then Dadi Vrijendra was the first one to witness that, and she experienced how the whole room became red and there was this divine light everywhere. So she was that fortunate one. But then after that, you know, like she was the first one to renounce everything. Actually, she has a very interesting life story. When she was quite young, maybe around 15 or 16 years of age, she was in a shop buying something with his brother. She was wearing a beautiful cap, and Brahma Baba, Dada Lekhraj, was passing by, and he saw this girl, and Brahma Baba then thought, this girl will become my daughter-in-law. He was attracted towards this girl so much because of that she was very beautiful and very divine. So he thought, she will become my daughter-in-law. So then after a few years, Brijendra Dadi had an elder brother, Kishan Dada. And Brahma Baba told Kishan Dada that I want to make your sister as my daughter-in-law for the elder son of Brahma Baba. So then Kishan Dada said, okay, there are three conditions I want to put. If you fulfill all these three conditions, then I will get my sister married to your son. Now, those three conditions were that my sister will never cook in the kitchen, because their family were filthy rich. So the ladies there never cooked in the kitchen. They never did household courses. In those days, just imagine, in 1930s, when women used to just be confined in between four walls, that's the work of kitchen and the household thing. In those days, this was the status of their family. They then didn't want their daughters to be working at the kitchen. One of the condition was that. And the next condition was, my sister will always walk on the carpets. Means your house should be completely carpeted. You should be so much wealthy, only then I'll get. This is an indirect way of saying that I will get married, give my sister to a rich family. And the third condition was, whenever she goes out of the house, she wouldn't walk, but she will go in a car. She will have a car of her own. So these were three conditions. And Baba said, because Baba was also quite wealthy, so Baba just smiled, yes, of course, this will happen. So then when Baba once went to Calcutta, and Kishan Dada, Brijendra Dadi's brother, was also in Calcutta, and he invited Kishan Dada, Baba invited Kishan Dada to his house, and Baba opened and showed every cupboard filled with jewelries, with silver things and all treasures. Everything he showed, and Kishan Dada was convinced that they are wealthy enough for my sister to go into this house. And then only he agreed and gave his sister in marriage to Brahma Baba's son. So she came with so much of wealth from her mother's house, father's house. And here Brahma Baba also offered so much ornament. And in those days, all the women who were married used to be completely with all jewels, always. So once when she recognized Shiva Baba, she gave away everything. So it was not a small thing, you know. She gave away everything. She put everything in a bundle. She put a cloth and put everything in that, and she tied it up and gave it to Baba and started to wear very simple clothes with no jewelry. But Brahma Baba never told her to do that. it was her inspiration, it was her thoughts, and she renounced everything. And when we look at the renunciation of these dadis and look at our own lives, we compare, then we feel that our renunciation is nothing, not even 0.1% of the renunciation that they had done, right? Not to have something and then to renounce is something different, but to have everything and then to renounce is something very big. So Brijendra Dadi was such example of renunciation. And when Brijendra Dadi came to Baba, when she renounced everything, and her husband, you know, the elder son of Brahma Baba, he came to Baba, he got this knowledge, but he wasn't so much inclined. So then he left and he got remarried to someone else. So Brijendra Dadi had two sons. One son left body in Karachi itself because of some disease. But the other son came to Mount Abu also, along with the Yagya. When the Yagya came to Mount Abu from Karachi, he was here, and his name was Ghanshyam. And then when the beggary part happened, those people, and he was sent to Bombay to do his studies and do some business. And later on, Brijendra Dadi, after when the services started in India, Brijendra Dadi was sent to Bombay to open a center there, and she was taking care of a center in Bombay. And her son was also there doing a business. But he was very nice. He was not married, but he had a lot of love for Baba. And every weekend, he used to come to Dadi center. He used to spend time every weekend with Dadi. And he used to do a lot of service, Baba's service at the center. It was very nice. And all of a sudden, he got leprosy. He got one disease which has lot of disease on the skin, leprosy. In those days, leprosy was a big disease. Now we have that cure. Then he was admitted to the hospital. And the Baba asked Brijendra Dadi to take care of him. And once Baba visited Bombay at the same time, and Ghanshyam Bhai, he came to know that Baba is here. And he said, "Baba, I want to meet Baba. I want to meet Baba." But in a leprosy hospital, people, visitors were not allowed. Then when Baba came to know that this child is remembering me, but many people advised Baba, "Baba, please don't go because he has that disease. You should not touch him. You should not be going near him." So Baba had so much love for the child because he was Baba's grandchild, Loki grandchild, right? So Baba had so much love for the child. Baba said, "No, I will go there." So Baba visited the hospital, and he went into the ward where this child, this brother was, and Baba hugged him and fed him with Brahma Bhojan. He couldn't eat much, but a little piece of, you know, whatever toli that Baba would offer, Baba offered him, and that child was so much satisfied with taking power from Baba, drishti from Baba, and all his wishes were fulfilled. And after 2 days, Ghanshyam Bhai left body, and because his wishes were fulfilled. And Brijendra Dadi did all the rituals, and then when Brijendra Dadi, after finishing all the rituals, went to Baba and told Baba, "We finished all the rituals and offered bhog to bhog." And during all these times, during when the rituals were happening, I never felt that sorrow inside. I never felt my heart to be heavy. I was so happy. I was feeling very light. Why is that? Being a mother, Laukik mother, I was feeling very light and happy during these rituals. Then Brahma Baba said, because the child, Ghanshyam child, he did lot of service and he was very happy when he was leaving the body, and that's the reason you were also experiencing that lightness and happiness. These were, so beautiful lessons that we should be learning. How detached Dadi was, even whilst doing all the rituals and doing everything, but detached. And Dadi Nirmal Shanta. Do you know who she is? Yeah, Laukik daughter of Brahma Baba. Nirmal Shanta Dadi, in her last days, she was in Calcutta taking care of Eastern Zone. But she has very beautiful story, very inspiring story. When Shiva Baba entered the body of Brahma Baba, and all this satsang, all this spiritual gathering started to happen in Sindh, Hyderabad, Nirmal Shanta Dadi was already married to a very, very rich family, and she was living with her in-laws and husband. And she used to visit Brahma Baba quite often, like almost like once in 2 days, she used to visit Brahma Baba. She was not so much inclined towards devotion or inclined towards spirituality. She was just, and she was wondering, what's all this happening? Why nowadays my father doesn't pay attention to me? Because previously, Brahma Baba used to pay a lot of, Behenji, thoda sa awaaz kam karenge please. Session ho raha hai, class ho raha hai yahan. Awaaz kam kariye. So, Nirmal Shanta Dadi was never inclined towards any devotion. So, she was wondering, before Brahma Baba used to pay attention to his children, take care of his children, but nowadays he was very much detached. Whenever Nirmal Shanta Dadi would meet his parents, her parents, even Yashoda Mata and Brahma Baba would give her lot of knowledge, spiritual knowledge that you are a soul, about the cycle and all spiritual knowledge. But Dadi used to wonder, they don't love me anymore. They just give me spiritual knowledge. She was a little bit, sad. And now they don't love me. So once she was invited for a dinner in Baba's. There was some festival going on. So she was invited for a dinner. And when she came to the house, she came to Brahma Baba's home very early, like late afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And the spiritual gathering was happening. And few sisters were in trance. And they were dancing. Very spiritually, very in a alaukik way, they were dancing and they were in trance. And Dadi Nirmal Shanta was attracted towards them. Because they were dancing, it was not a laukik way. No, it was a very spiritual way, very slowly they were dancing. So she was attracted towards them. And she knew all of them because they were friends. They grew together. She knew all of those girls. So they thought something different. They are looking very different, So she was attracted. Then one of the sister came down after finishing the trance. She was sitting there and Nirmal Shanta Dadi went up to her and told, I want to know your experience. What did you do there, up there? I want to know your experience. That sister who was in trance, just came down from trance. She was completely silent, completely merged in that blissful state of mind. So slowly she said, can I share this experience with you tomorrow? Because she was not in a condition to speak. Can I share the experience with you tomorrow? So Dadi said, okay, no problem. I'll come at 4 o'clock tomorrow. I'll meet you at 4 o'clock. So then she went up to Baba and said, Baba, I want to come again tomorrow. Please send the car for me to come. Baba said, let us see tomorrow what will happen. So listening to this response of Baba, Dadi felt very bad. Like previously Baba used to send all the time, like whenever she used to request Baba, I want a car, want a ride, he used to immediately send the car, and he would never say no to anything previously. But now Baba is saying, let me see what will happen tomorrow. So Dadi didn't like it. So when she was going back to her in-law's home in the car, Baba was also there in the car. Then Dadi asked, Baba, why did you say this? You never used to say this like this before. And then Baba said, do you know what will happen tomorrow? Are you sure? So no one knows what will happen tomorrow. So that's the reason. But Dadi never liked it. So then, okay, she went and she slept. At night, around 11 o'clock, you know, she got a dream that this Brahma Baba, you know, he's standing there and there's lot of light in the dream. She woke up. She thought, because this incident had happened, she was angry with Baba, and that's the reason maybe Baba had come in my dream. She again slept. And again, after maybe 1 hour, she got the same dream. Brahma Baba standing there, lot of light. Then again she woke up. She thought the same reason could be that. And the third time, around 2 o'clock, it was not a dream, it was experience that there's Sri Krishna and Brahma Baba saying that I am so, child, come to me, come to me. So then she realized what my father is, because until now she was looking at Brahma Baba as a Laukik father, right? Obviously, because from a childhood she had that relationship of a Laukik father with Brahma Baba. So now she thought, okay, this is it. Now he is going to be Sri Krishna, or maybe that divine energy is there in him. She couldn't understand that God has descended. Somehow she thought, okay, there's divine energy. Then she realized that it was her mistake and she was angry with her father. Then she thought, okay, I'll get up early in the morning tomorrow, get ready and go to Baba's home and then apologize to Baba. Then she slept, and in the morning at 6 o'clock, she was supposed to wake up and get ready, but her body got sick. She wasn't able to get up. Then she realized what Baba had told yesterday, that let's see, child, what will happen tomorrow, because Baba knew what would happen the next day, because he is the knower of everything. So then she realized, oh, this is a thing. Then in the evening, Brahma Baba visited her house, and then she apologized, told sorry to Baba, and then she said, Baba, from now onwards, whatever you would say, I would follow that. You know, and after that she used to follow whatever directions Baba would give, and she understood the spiritual knowledge. And then one time so happened that Brahma Baba and the whole family went to Kashmir, because there was lot of, you know, in Sindh, Hyderabad, there was picketing happening, there was lot of negativity which was being spread in Hyderabad against Brahma Baba. So they thought, okay, let us take a break. And Brahma Baba went to Kashmir with his Laukik family. So there was Nirmal Shanta Dadi, Yashoda Mata, and all his children went there. He hired a huge bungalow there, and Baba was staying there with his family. And once Nirmal Shanta Dadi was just going in the garden, she was just having a stroll. And one elderly person comes to her and asks her, do you know the way to Pahalgam? Pahalgam is a place in Kashmir. She says, Nirmal Shanta Dadi says, I don't know the way to Pahalgam, but I know the way to Paramdham. She says, such a young girl, you know, like maybe in her 18 years, 19 years, because that time they used to get married very early, right? So she was a young girl and she is saying, I know the way to Paramdham. That elderly person was, you know, he was very curious. You know the way to Paramdham? What is it? I want to know that. So then she said, okay, come in. So she made him to sit in the living room and told Baba, Baba, there's an elderly person and this is what I told him. So I know the way to Paramdham. And Brahma Baba came and met that elderly person, gave drishti, and Brahma Baba told I was waiting for you since 3 days. Baba was expecting this person since 3 days. I was waiting for you, Baba said. And gave drishti. When Baba gave drishti to him, he went into trance and got the vision of Krishna. And he was the father of Shantamani Dadi. Shantamani Dadi. I'll show the picture of Shantamani Dadi later. So later on, there were few families along with Brahma Baba who dedicated completely to the yajna. Of course, Brahma Baba, he offered all his wealth. He created a trust and he offered everything to the trust. And along with Brahma Baba, Shantamani Dadi's father, Rijumal Dada, his name is Rijumal Dada. He also offered all his wealth to this trust, the committee. And also Chandramani Dadi's father also offered all his wealth to this trust. So there were quite a few family who offered everything to this trust. So Nirmal Shanta Dadi, actually Nirmal Shanta Dadi's Laukik name is Palo Dadi, but Baba gave this name Nirmal Shanta because she is so gentle, so royal, so cool, you know, like, so that's the reason Baba gave her this title, this name Nirmal Shanta. And she always had this intoxication that I take the inheritance from Brahma Baba, 3-in-1, because Brahma Baba was a laukik father, alaukik father and parlaukik father. Shiva Baba also descended in the body of Brahma Baba. So she had that intoxication that 3-in-1, Baba is there for me. No one else had this role, but I have this role. Like, you know, take this inheritance from Brahma Baba. Yeah. Vishwakishor Bhav. You know who this is? The person with the specs here, when you see in this, okay. This is a person, Vishwakishor Bhav. Vishwakishor Bhav. And Vishwakishor Bhav is the son of Brahma Baba's elder brother. Brahma Baba's elder brother's son is Vishwakishor Bhav. And since childhood, he used to be with Brahma Baba only, along with the business. He was part of a business, like he was in the business with Brahma Baba. Take care of the shop there. And he was very obedient, very obedient Haji. Whatever Baba would say, he would say Haji, Haji. So when Baba renounced everything, he winded his business from Calcutta. Vishwakishor Bhav also winded everything, all his business along with Baba, and came to Karachi, and he was full time in the yajna. So whatever purchasing in the yajna, all types of purchasing, he used to do. Vishwakishor Bhav used to do. And when they were supposed to shift from Karachi to Mount Abu, Vishwakishor Bhav was one of the person who came and saw different places in India and then finalized this place, Mount Abu. So Vishwakishor Bhav was one of the person. And one of the beautiful stories, you know, this picture, this photograph is very memorial. It's an epic picture because this was the last photograph before Bhav was leaving for an operation in Bombay. This is in Mount Abu. Baba took this picture. So in the later times, when everyone shifted, the yajna shifted to Mount Abu after a few years, when the center started in all different places, Bhav got sick. Vishwakishor Bhav got sick and he went to Bombay for a checkup. And the doctor said, we need to operate on you. But his parameters were not so normal. His BP and all these things were not normal. Then the doctors told that we will be operating on you after a week. We won't be able to operate on you within a week. So he thought, okay, why to waste this time in Bombay? Let me go to Mount Abu and spend this time with Baba. So Vishwakeshwar Bhau came to Mount Abu along with Ramesh Bhai. The person with the black coat next to Baba, he's Ramesh Bhai. So Ramesh Bhai and Vishwakeshwar Bhau came to Mount Abu and Baba gave lots of love to both of them. All the three meals Baba used to eat with these two people, discussing various issues of the yagya, legal issues, because Ramesh Bhai is a CA, accountant. So they used to discuss different illegal issues and all about the yagya. So that 1 week, Baba gave lots of sustenance to both of them. And when they were about to leave, when they loaded all the luggage to the on the taxi, you can see a taxi, a car there, and they loaded the luggage. And then Baba's, it was afternoon, around 2:30, 3 o'clock. And Baba said, call Chandrahas Dada. Chandrahas Dada was the one who was taking care of all the technical side. You know, all the audio department, photography department, he was used to take care of. And Baba said, wake up Chandrahas Dada. Chandrahas Dada was sleeping already. Like he was taking a nap, afternoon nap. So he said, wake up Chandrahas Dada, call him to take a picture. So Chandrahas Dada came and took this picture. It's very epic. So then after that, when they were traveling in the train was Vishwakeshwar Bhau, Ramesh Bhai, and Vishwakeshwar Bhau's Laukik wife, Santri Dadi. Three of them were traveling in the train. And Ramesh Bhai asked Bhau, ki why did Baba break his discipline? Because Baba never used to like pictures, to take pictures. He said, remember Shiv Baba, don't remember this body. So Baba never liked taking pictures. So Ramesh Bhai asked Vishwakeshwar Bhau, why did Baba break his discipline? Why did he bring Chandra's Dada to click the picture? Then Vishwakeshwar Bhau smiled very sweetly and said, because Brahma Baba knows that I won't be coming back to Mount Abu. I'll be leaving my body. So this was a shock to Ramesh Bhai to know that, okay, Brahma Baba knew that Bhau was leaving body, but Bhau also knew that he was going to leave his body. It was such a thing. Then Ramesh Bhai asked, why is it like, what's happening? He was so shocked. So then Vishwakeshwar Bhau said, because I had put an application to Baba. I told Baba, now educated youngsters have come to the yagya. They are taking care of everything. Because in Delhi, there was Jagdish Bhai and Brijmohan Bhai who had come in the knowledge. And in Bombay, there was Ramesh Bhai and Nirvair Bhai. So they were educated youngsters who were taking care of everything. So then Bhau told to Baba, there are youngsters now, so I want your leave. I want to go. I have finished all my responsibilities. Now I want to go to the advance party and take care of the things there. Then Baba said, okay, gave, you know, permission. And then Baba knew that this child is not going to come back again. And Bhau also knew that he is not going to live. He is going to leave his body during this operation. So then he went and got operated. And after 5 days of operation, like, you know, he was operated and then put to the ward. And after 5 days, Bhau left body. And then Ramesh Bhai asked Baba, should we bring the body to Mount Abu? Baba said, what's the need now? You know, as a spiritual, Baba knew, like, right, as a spiritual person, that there is importance of the soul. What do we do with the body? So then he was cremated there only in Bombay, and bhog was offered, and the bhog message was like, actually Vishwakishor Bhau wanted to leave body on the operation table itself. But if Bhau would have left body on the operation table, doctors would have been defamed. Like, you know, he left body because of the operation. So that's why Baba took him after 5 days of operation, so that no one would be blamed for his death. So Baba, the lesson to learn from this is, Baba had so much love for the children. He gave so much. He spent all the 7 days completely with this soul, knowing that he is not going to come back. But once that soul left the body, he was so detached. Right? This is love. When they are in front of us, Baba would give everything, you know, fill everything with so much of love. But once the children are gone, Baba would be so much detached. And also a lesson to learn from Bhau is, he was also so detached. He was so strong, so powerful. He knew that he was going to die. He was going to leave his body. But then he was so neutral. He was so detached. He had accepted it. He wanted that. Right? So elevated souls. You know, when we think that, when we know that, okay, when I know that after 3 days I'm going to leave body, what would be my condition, state of mind? You know, can I be so detached? Can I accept that? You know, it's a question to ask ourselves, isn't it? This is Santri Dadi, Laukik wife of Vishwakishor Bhau. You see Santri Dadi? This is Santri Dadi here. Yeah? Youngster. She was very beautiful. And they literally lived with Brahma Baba even before knowledge, when they were taking care of the business. So Santri Dadi was helping Brahma Baba in every way. And she was a messenger, trans messenger. And Santri Dadi was personal trans messenger of Brahma Baba. So whatever questions that Brahma Baba had, Baba used to tell Santri Dadi to go to Almighty Baba. Almighty Baba is Shiv Baba. They used to call Almighty Baba in those days. To go to Almighty Baba and ask these questions. You know, so when any clarity, Baba used to ask Santri Dadi to go to trance. So Santri Dadi was a personal messenger of Brahma Baba. And also, you know what the meaning is of Santri. Actually, Santri Dadi's original name is something different. Right now, I don't remember. But Santra in Hindi, Santra is orange. You know, orange. And Dadi's face was round and like red, you know, orange color, like, you know, pink. You know? So that's the reason Baba used to call her Santru. Very lovingly, Baba used to call her Santru, Santru Bachi, child Santru. So that's the reason that name became famous, Dadi Santri. And she was very humble, very humble. And she used to take care of the store in Mount Abu. But then later on, when Baba left body, she went with Nirmal Shanta Dadi to Calcutta. And she lived there with Dadi. And after a few years, she felt that she wanted to come to Madhuban. Nirmal Shanta Dadi was coming to Mount Abu, and she said, Santri Dadi said, I also want to come with you to Mount Abu. So then they both of them came, and then Santri Dadi left body in Madhuban, in Pandav Bhavan, because she had that sense, that feeling that she is going to leave body, and she wanted to leave body in Madhuban. So she left body in Madhuban. And when Brahma Baba left body on 18th of January 1969, Dadi was here. And the first time that Brahma Bab Dada came was in the body of Santri Dadi. First time it wasn't in Gulzar Dadi. You know, later on it was decided officially that okay, Gulzar Dadi will be the official chariot of Santri Dadi, of Brahma Bab Dada. So, but first, Bab Dada descended in the body of Santri Dadi. But then later on, you know, then the time came to decide who will be the official chariot of Bab Dada, because there were quite a few dadis, no, who were trans messengers, like maybe 5 or 6 trans messenger dadis were there who were very popular, very powerful. So a time had come to choose, to decide which chariot to finalize. The first option was Santri Dadi, actually, because Santri Dadi was a personal messenger of Brahma Baba. The first option was Santri Dadi, but Santri Dadi said, because I know everything which is personal Brahma Baba, so I don't want to be the chariot of Bab Dada, because if Bab Dada would come in my body, they would not believe, because I already know many secrets of the yajna, many things of the yajna, so I don't want to become the chariot. She renounced. So even after being so, you know, close to Brahma Baba, so close to the yajna, she had the option, she had the opportunity to become the chariot of Bab Dada, but she said no. So this was the renunciation that she made. And then after Baba started to come in the chariot of Gulzar Dadi, Baba said that this yajna is standing on the foundation of renunciation of great souls. You know, there was incognito renunciation many dadis have done, which was unspoken of. So this was one of the renunciation that Santri Dadi did. And that's the reason later on Gulzar Dadi was nominated as the official chariot of Bab Dada. And this is Manmohini Didi. Manmohini Didi was very close to Brahma Baba. And you know, all might be knowing that there was a Jodi, there was a Prakashmani Dadi and Manmohini Didi were very close to each other. Because when Brahma Baba left body, Prakashmani Dadi and Manmohini Didi were nominated as the administrative heads of the organization. Right? So both of them were very close to Baba and also to each other. And Manmohini Dadi, like Brijendra Dadi, Manmohini Didi also belonged to a very, very wealthy family. Her Laukik name was Gopi. Gopi is, you know, the meaning of Gopi. You know, you have Gopis around Krishna, a great lovers of Krishna. So she was practically a great, you know, she had so much of love for Baba. But yeah, like she was everything. Whatever Baba said, she was completely following that. So when she came to Baba, she also renounced everything, all her jewelry, everything, and she surrendered. And during those days in Sindh, Hyderabad, her family was well known, very popular in those days. After that, also when they came to India, when they migrated after partition, the family opened very famous hospital in Bombay. That's Just Look Hospital. So they are very rich and very popular. But one of the specialities that Manmohini Didi had was like her intellect was very sharp, very sharp. If she would meet anyone, just 2 minutes of meeting, she would understand the past, present, future of that soul. She could understand what quality this soul belongs to. So she had immense power of intellect. But the greatest renunciation of Manmohini Didi was she never gave class. You know? And she never read Murli in Madhuban. Or for that sake, anywhere else. Even in Madhuban, when Prakashmani Dadi used to read Murli, Manmohini Didi would sit in the front and listen to the Murali from Prakashmani Dadi. So such humility, even though both of them were almost equal. Actually, Manmohini Didi was much more elder to Prakashmani Dadi. But, you know, they had that humility in them to accept Prakashmani Dadi to be doing this. So, Manmohini Didi took care of all the internal administration of Madhuban, and Prakashmani Dadi took care of all the centers and all the other administrative work in Madhuban. So, Manmohini Didi had a very good decision-making power. So, when the Yagya was in Karachi, they were invited by their Laukiks. Manmohini Didi was invited by their Laukiks in Bombay to visit them and to share their knowledge with the Laukiks. So they invited them very much. Then she used to refuse every time. She used to say no, no. Then Baba said, no, you have to go now. So it was in, I think, 1950s, somewhere early 1950s in January, then Dadi decided, okay, I'll go to India, to Bombay, to my Laukiks. And Didi visited them. And that was the time then they said the whole Yagya should be shifting now, should shift to India, because Pakistan is the land, is a different land where we can't expand. So you should come to India now. So they were having a thought. Then she shared this thought with Baba. Then Baba said, okay, the whole Yagya can be shifted, but then we should get an invitation. One is that we should get an invitation, and second, we should look for a place for 300 people to live in. And thirdly, who will take care of the expenses? So whoever invites, they should be capable of taking care of the expense for at least initially 3-4 months or 6 months. So then it's her Laukik family, Manmohini Didi's Laukik family said, okay, we will take care of the expenses in bring them here. So then Didi visited different places in India, in Ahmedabad, Bombay, and in Mount Abu. So then Didi liked this place in Mount Abu. She saw one place in Bridgekoti in Mount Abu, and she liked it. And then she said to Baba, Baba, this is a place which I like, but there are other places also. Then Baba said, okay, let's finalize this. But first, let me send Vishwakishore Bhau. Vishwakishore Bhau came and spoke about how much we have to give, purchasing and everything. And then it was finalized that we will be coming here. So then the whole Yagya was shifted to Mount Abu. So Didi and Didi's family were, you know, pioneers or took up the responsibility to shift the whole Yagya to Mount Abu. So, yeah. And then when in, I think, 1983, I think, Didi got sick. Her body, she had a tumor in her brain. She was diagnosed with a tumor. And then Didi went to Bombay, and doctors said that she needs to get operated to get the tumor removed. There are chances that she can survive, but there are chances that she can leave body also. Then the Baba said, okay, go for operation. Then she was operated, but Didi couldn't survive. And then if the whole Yagya started to blame the doctor. You know, doctor was not nice. You know, he was the doctor. It was a mistake of the doctor, because all the brothers and sisters of the Yagya loved Manmohini Didi so much. And then Baba gave the message, it is neither the mistake of Bhagwan nor the mistake of Bhagwati. Means Bhagwan is God. Bhagwati was the name of the doctor. So it is neither the mistake of God nor the mistake of the doctor that Didi left body. It's in the drama. It was like that, and it had to happen like that. So then after that, Didi left body, and yeah. So Prakashmani Dadi, everyone knows about her, right? She was the chief of the organization after Brahma Baba. So I wouldn't say much about her, but just would like to share that her Laukik name was Rama, and she was like a gopi, you know, like since the initial days she was very active, and the very moment she came to Baba, she recognized and she decided that she wants to dedicate her life for this. And Prakashmani Dadi's Laukik father was an astrologer. He had predicted that this daughter of mine wouldn't get married and she will join a spiritual organization. He knew. So the moment she said that I want to dedicate my life, he didn't come to Brahma Baba. He was not in the knowledge, but he allowed her to go to Baba and take this knowledge. So since childhood, like, you know, since then she was involved with every activity, and she was one of the teachers in the hostel that Baba had created, and one of the personnel of the committee of the trust where Baba offered everything, dedicated everything. Okay, Dadi Rudya Pushpa. No, Rudya Pushpa Dadi, as I said, Chandramani Dadi and Rudya Pushpa Dadi, they both are sisters. Rudya Pushpa Dadi is the elder sister, and Chandramani Dadi is a younger sister. So the whole family got dedicated, their father and the whole family got dedicated in the yajna. It's a beautiful story actually, how they came to Gyan. Rudya Pushpa Dadi was married actually, but she was never inclined towards, you know, marriage or anything even before coming to Gyan. But when she got married, the day after she got married, her husband got ill. He got sick, and she nursed her husband like a nurse, you know, did all the help. And after 6 months of her marriage, her husband died, and she started to cry a lot. You know, she got so much sorrow in her heart that, you know, just 6 months before I was a Kumari. Now, just 6 months after, I'm a widow. You know, and in those days, to become a widow is a big thing. You know, they were supposed to wear white dress, and they were not allowed to go into any gathering, any marriages or anything. They were secluded from all the spiritual gathering. It was a hell, like, you know, the life of a widow was not so good. So she was crying. And many people at that time, you know, many people in Hyderabad, they used to go to Brahma Baba, and they used to get visions. Somebody told to her, come to this Om Mandali and your life would become better. So she went to this gathering, and when she met Baba, she had that divine vision. She felt very good, and Baba gave her the introduction of the soul. And Baba asked, first question that Baba asked her was, who are you? You know, as we ask, right, who are you? She said, I am a very sorrowful soul, a sorrowful person. She didn't know the knowledge of soul, right? I'm a very sad person, she said. Then Baba started to give the introduction of the soul and the qualities of the soul and everything. And after half an hour of knowledge, then Baba asked, who are you? Then she said, I'm a happy soul. You know, and then she started to laugh, and she said, you know, within half an hour of interaction with Brahma Baba, her life changed completely from being a sorrowful person to, you know, happy soul. And she went into trance, and for 2 hours she was sitting there enjoying the trance, and she was very happy. And every day she used to attend the gathering, and her life completely changed. Now she used to laugh, she used to interact with people, and her life, and looking at her, many people started to come to this Om Mandali. And now her father, you know, Rudya Pushpa Dadi's father, he was dead against this knowledge, and he was, you know, all into the Laukik world, used to take intake, a lot of alcohol, non-vegetarian food, and was against all this spirituality. And once Baba said, you have to bring letter, take permission from your parents that you will visit this Om Mandali. Then Dadi went to ask for a permission for a letter from her father. He said, no, I'm not going to give you the letter, because he never liked the spiritual knowledge. Then Dadi told about this to Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba said, okay, ask him to come and visit me once. Then she went and told her father, Brahma Baba wants, Dada Lake Raj, Dada wants to meet you. But her father couldn't refuse, because Dada Lake Raj was an eminent person at that time, right? So he had a lot of respect for Dada Lake Raj. Then he said, okay, I'll come and visit. And he came. When he came met Brahma Baba, Brahma Baba gave a little bit of knowledge and then said, okay, Mama will give you the complete knowledge now. So Mama sat with him and gave the knowledge that, you know, you are an idol, this is a temple, the body is a temple, you are an idol in this temple, you won't offer non-vegetarian food or alcohol to a deity, to a god or goddesses. So she explained it a very beautiful way. And he was so impressed, he got that realization, yes, of course, this is my temple, you know. So immediately, when he went from Om Mandali to his house, he was a transformed person, completely. He went to his house, he had a small bar in his house. So he took all the alcohol bottles and he threw them onto the road. And his brother came up and said, brother, why are you throwing so expensive bottles? If you don't want to consume, let me consume that. You know, why are you throwing it away? So he said, no, I don't want to be part of this sin. So when I am renouncing this, I don't want anyone to consume this. So on that day, he decided that I will not take alcohol nor non-vegetarian food. From that day onwards, he was a transformed person and he started to visit Om Mandali every day. And then he gave permission letter to all his daughters and sons and everyone, and he also gave himself the letter that I'm also going to attend this, and he dedicated everything. So it was Rudya Pushpa Dadi who brought the whole family into this. And can you recognize Rudya Pushpa Dadi in this photograph? It's this, you know. Can you see my cursor here? This one with the open hair. Yeah. That is Rudya Pushpa Dadi there. Okay, so her Laukik younger sister is Chandramani Dadi. You can see the tall sister who is standing in that photograph is Chandramani Dadi, and she was one of the teachers of the children in the hostel. Right? Baba had opened a school and a hostel there in Karachi. So she was one of the teachers there. Dadi was just 15 years of age, and she used to teach the children of 10 years, 12 years. Yeah? Baba made them so capable in that young age. And Dadi was called as the lioness of Punjab. She was so powerful. Very pakka in her Srimad, very pakka in her disciplines, but, you know, very big heart. In Punjab, there was terrorism at one point in time. And Dadi, with her tapasya, and, you know, she made a program of tapasya in the whole, because she was in charge of Punjab zone. And, you know, gradually, there was all this terrorism came down, was put to stop, And also there was many revolt during those initial days, and Dadi faced all those problems with a lioness heart, and that's why Baba gave her this title, Lioness of Punjab. And when Manmohini Didi left body in 1983, Baba asked Chandramani Dadi to come and live in Madhuban. So Dadi had the responsibility of 7 states, you know, Punjab, Haryana, Himachal Pradesh, all those states, a huge zone. She was taking care of the huge zone. But then when Baba said, you have to come and live in Madhuban, in 1 second, she said, yes, Baba. So she came and lived in Madhuban. That was, you know, when we look at Dadi's, it's such a huge renunciation to leave everything there. Because in Madhuban, Prakashmani Dadi is already here. Prakashmani Dadi is reading Murali every day. Chandramani Dadi wouldn't get an opportunity to read Murali. But she would sit here just like because Prakashmani Dadi wanted, you know, that support and so that thing from Dadi's. That's the reason Dadi was here. But, you know, and after this Gyan Sarovar was constructed, Baba asked Chandramani Dadi to come here, and Dadi took care of from 1995 to 97, 3 years, Dadi took care. She lived here in Gyan Sarovar, and then later on, she left body. So Chandramani Dadi was so loving, and she used to, like, you know, give sustenance to all the Kumaris. One of the things that really, really remember of Chandramani Dadi was, you know, like, there used to be Kumaris Bhattis here, trainings. And she always used to say to Kumaris, if you want to have attachment for anyone, have attachment with me. You know, Dadi used to say, have attachment with me. Because, you know, as youngsters, they would have the tendency of getting attached to anyone who would show some love, show some affection, show some care. So they would get attached. No? So Dadi would always used to say, because sometimes for some people it's difficult to get attached to Shiv Baba. No? Because he is incognito. It's a bit difficult to get attached to Baba, to get experience all relationships with Baba. So Dadi used to say, have attachment with me. So having attachment with me, you will be safe. Yeah? So she used to love the Kumaris and Kumar so much, and she would give a lot of sustenance. Rudya Pushpa Dadi is the elder sister of Chandramani Dadi, and Rudya Pushpa Dadi then later on took care of southern states of India, Karnataka. One beautiful story was, like, Baba once gave 5 rupees to Rudya Pushpa Dadi and asked her to go to Bangalore. With just 5 rupees in her hand, Dadi went to Bangalore, and she didn't know the language, because in Bangalore, in Karnataka, the language is Kannada. And Dadi just knew Sindhi and Hindi. And just with faith, she had so much of faith in Baba. So she sat in the train, and with two days of journey from Abu Road to Bangalore, so she traveled to Bangalore, and she established so many centers in Bangalore, in Karnataka, in Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh. So she was the first person to go down there. So this is Manohar Dadi. You know, Manohar Dadi, her Laukik name was Hari. And she had a friend, Gange Dadi. You know, they were spiritual friends, and they were always together. And Baba used to call them Har Har Gange. You know, in the part of devotion in India, when they take dip in the Ganges, You know, the people say they get purified when they take a dip in the Ganges river. So they say Har Har Gange, Har Har Gange means Ho Gange, purify me. So Baba used to say that it is the memorial of you two, because name of Manohar Indra Dadi was Hari and Gange, Har Har Gange. So it was like, you know, they always used to be together. And when the beggary part started in Madhuban, they were asked to go to Delhi to establish a center, and the Laukiks invited them. Manohar Indra Dadi's Laukiks invited her, and Gange Dadi and Manohar Indra Dadi went to Delhi. And few days they stayed with the Laukiks, and then later on in a temple, they got invited by a temple person, and above a temple there was a place for them to live, and they used to give discourses every morning and evening in the temple, and they used to live there. And in one of the, you know, they used to print pamphlets, literature. They used to print, and in one of the literature, one of the pamphlets, Dadi wrote, Baba sent the pamphlet printed in Madhuban, and he sent, and in that it was written, Ramayan is a novel, you know. And if a devotee is read those, you know, listen, they would get offended, right? Ramayana is a scripture for them, right? It's elevated, it's most precious for them. But when we say that Ramayana is a novel, then they get offended. So that what that is thought, okay, let me scratch that, you know, delete that. You know, she put black ink on that word, Ramayana is a novel, and she started to give. And in those days, they used to say, tell everything to Baba every day. So she wrote a letter to Baba. Baba, I did this. You know, I put a black ink on this word, Ramayana is a novel, because people would get offended, because that temple was Rama's temple. You know, Ramayana is Rama, right? Rama's temple. So they would get offended. So I deleted, put a blank ink on that. So Baba wrote a letter. You don't have any courage like lionesses. You are bakris. You are goats. Baba gave them the title, you are goats. You don't have that power. You know, so Baba used to give all those teachings. You have to become sherni. You have become lionesses. And, you know, you have to give the truth, the true knowledge to everyone. So, but later on, all the knowledge got refined, and we started to say whatever, you know, to please the people. That was a different thing. But then after a few days, you know, the temple people said, okay, that's enough of you now. We don't want this space. You move out of this place now. So they didn't know what to do. So they were roaming around, and on the banks of the river Ganga, Yamuna, there's a river Yamuna in Delhi, no? On the banks of river Yamuna, they found a house, a haunted house, which didn't have any window or a door. Just a haunted house, just four walls. They put some cloth to, you know, as a door and a window, and they started to live there. And a group of wrestlers, you know, who used to wrestle, were used to practice quite a little away. And every day at night, they thought these are the devis, these are the goddesses. They used to give security to these two sisters every day, because this house didn't have in window and door. And in one of their championship, in one of their competitions, they won. The person won, and they brought all the, you know, fruits and flowers to offer them. They said, because we offered you security every day at night, you are deities, the devis, and that's why we won. So they offered this to them, and then every day they used to give security. So they used to get visions from these sisters because of the power of the tapasya that they had. people would get visions from them a lot. And when the centers started and people started to come in, they used to get different things for the center. As usual, the students get things for the center. One day, a businessman, he brought a huge tin of ghee to the center and gave it to Manohar Dadi. Then Dadi thought, what will I do with this huge tin of ghee here, only two sisters? So let me take it to Madhuban, because in Madhuban our family is big and Baba is there, this ghee will be used there. So, but she didn't have money for train ticket. So she took the tin and sat in the train without ticket. And when the ticket collector, TT, came and asked for the ticket, she said, no, I don't have a ticket. And she started to give him the knowledge. You know where I am going? In Madhuban, in Mount Abu, there is a big, huge yagya being made there. You know, yagya is being offered there. I am going there to put ghee, offer ghee to the big yagya. You know, she started with so much of intoxication. She gave so much of knowledge to the TT. Then he got fed up. Okay. You know, no need to give the money for the ticket. Okay, come, go. And she came, she traveled without the ticket. And then she came to Madhuban, and then she, you know, shared this story with Baba. Then Baba just smiled. Okay, this time you have traveled without ticket. You shouldn't be doing that next time. You should travel with ticket. This is not, you know, shouldn't do anything illegal. You know, so, but such type of intoxication Dadis had, they would convince anyone and everyone with that knowledge that they used to give. So one of the stories I remember, you might know Jagdish Bhaiji, who has written a lot of literature of the yagya, right? So he was a professor in one of the colleges, and he was inclined towards spirituality. He was just going somewhere and he saw a small gathering, and there were four white cladded sarid sisters sitting there on the stage. They didn't have any chairs. They were sitting on the floor with the, you know, pillow there. They were sitting and they were giving lectures. And he went and stood there in the gathering, started to listen to that gathering, to the discourses that the sisters were giving. And it was funny. There was microphone. Once Dadi used to try, would speak, and there was no coordinator, stage coordinator was not there. And one Dadi would speak, and if one other Dadi thought of speaking, or she got some, you know, something to share, she used to pull the microphone and start to speak. And the third Dadi, if she used to feel, okay, I want to speak now, she used to pull the microphone from that Dadi and start to speak. So this musical chair happened all the time, right? So because they were not trained in all the worldly things, because they were just given spiritual knowledge for 14 years in Sindh, Hyderabad and Karachi, they never saw any worldly things, they never knew how to do all these things, but they did it. But Jagdish Bhai didn't like that, but he was attracted towards spirituality, the energy that they were holding. So after the discourse, Jagdish Bhai went up to these Dadis and said, told, what is it that, then he started to ask different questions. And they said, okay, if you want to know more, come to the center. And then that's how he went to the center and took all the course and everything happened. So what I would like to share is, it's the energy, it's not the etiquettes that the Dadi were having. It was a spiritual energy that they held, they had, that attracted many of the people, right? So that was the beauty of these Dadis. You know, so that was the power of tapasya and renunciation that these Dadis had. And Manohar Dadi was very popular in sharing yagya stories. She had lots and lots of stories of the yajna. If she used to share the stories, it was like, you know, film, movie going on. Whenever we used to get tired, she used to share lots and lots of stories of the yajna. That's why I used to say, Manohar stories. You know, beautiful stories of Manohar Dadi. Yeah, the other dadis, you know, the story goes on and on and on. I think I would like to finish here, and maybe we'll see, because we have more stories and more dadis and dadas there.
Thank you, Suman Ben. I think that was very insightful, and you feel like you know the family more. You get a sense of it, and it brings a feeling of closeness as well. And I think as Suman Ben was sharing, you know, the energy she was talking about, and one could get a sense of like being there and what it was like. So thank you so much for that, Suman Ben. And we have a very, very special surprise as well. Sister Elizabeth is with us. And if you know Sister Elizabeth, she has a beautiful voice and she sings some lovely songs. And she has a special song on ancestors, which she's going to share with us now. So Sister Elizabeth, welcome.
इसके बाद फिर एक गीत जो दृष्टि लेंगे.
This is beautiful for meditation. Yeah, okay. And thank you, that was amazing. I really enjoyed hearing about our ancestor souls. I couldn't feel, I didn't know if you were real. I looked in eyes that knew God's love. It was only you she was thinking of. She said to me, hold Baba's hand, and then you'll know and understand. A love so pure the world has not seen in 5,000 years come into being. Living the legacy of love, linking hearts to the one above. Living the legacy of love, from Shiv Baba through Brahma to daddies and family. I believe it's all true. I speak your words and show others too. You taught my heart to recognize and feel your love and realize that no one can love this soul like Shiv Baba can. Brahma told us and held our hand through Dadi's eyes, and God's embrace will move the world and lift the human race. Living the legacy of love, linking hearts to the one above. Living the legacy of love, from Shiv Baba through Brahma to daddies and family. Living the legacy of love, linking hearts to the one above. Living the legacy of love, from Shiv Baba through Brahma to Daddy and family, living a legacy of love, linking hearts to the one above, living the legacy of love. From Shiv Baba through Brahma to daddies and families, living the legacy, living the legacy of love.
Slowly, I would request all of you to stand and turn around and take drishti from the ancestors back there.
बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी, महके जिया सुचिता से वो दुनिया है बनानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी। मधुरस मधुरता का होठों पे आया, ज्ञान का अमृत जब से पिलाया, मधुरस मधुरता का होठों पे आया, ज्ञान का अमृत जब से पिलाया, पाके तेरा प्यार हो गई हर घड़ी सुहानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी। नम्रता की खुशबू हम में आई, शिक्षा निरंकारी बनने की पाई, नम्रता की खुशबू हम में आई, शिक्षा निरंकारी बनने की पाई, श्रीमत से दिव्य गुणों की बहार हमें तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी, बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी, महके जिया सुचिता से वो दुनिया है बनानी, दिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी बाबा तेरी बगिया के फूल हैं हम रूहानी.
Taking this inspiration and the feeling of immense gratitude for what they have offered us, we exist because they existed. They are the roots of the Kalpa tree. They belong to us and we belong to them. With this deep feeling of belongingness and gratitude in our hearts, we leave and go for lunch. Om Shanti.